Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. As September approaches, some of the hottest book titles of the season are slated to hit store shelves. And today, Lee Haber, who is the books editor for Oh, the Oprah magazine and the coordinator for Oprah's book club, she joins us to talk about what she's looking forward to this fall. And you can join the conversation. Do you think do you already have a great list of books for the fall season? And there's the forever question about what makes a great fall book. We ask that about summer books as well. So what makes for a great fall book? And what books are you excited to see hit shelves? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also send us a message on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. And Lee Haber joins us now from New York. Lee, welcome back to On Point. Lee, are you there?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, can you hear me now? Okay, great. Terrific.
Nothing now.
Can you hear me now? Okay, looks like we're having some technical difficulties with Lee Haber. Lee, can you hear me?
I can.
Ah, wonderful. Okay, good.
Yay!
Let's see if I can hold on for the next 15 minutes or so. Well, first of all, let me tell you, it's great to have you back on the show.
I
loved our summer books conversation. And so we thought this would be a great chance to have you back and explore what's coming up in the fall. So look, we asked the question a couple of months ago when we did our summer books talk about what makes for a great summer book. And there was a lot of debate about whether we should even be boxing any books in terms of season. Right. But I'm going to go out there and just ask you, should we be asking the question about great fall books? What makes for a great autumn book?
Well, that is such a good question. And the only sad thing is that I'm really sorry we're talking as if summer is behind us. Okay, I'll give it to you. The thing about fall, it's really kind of a publishing thing, which is that a lot of the publishers bring out their big guns in the fall. So this fall is particularly jam-packed with big names, big books, several of which are under embargo. And that means that even reviewers won't get a copy until the book goes on sale unless you sign a non-disclosure. So that's kind of fun. And they do that, you know, with kind of the newsier books, or in the case of Margaret Atwood's new book, The Testaments, the sequel to Handmaid's Tale, because they just want to keep us in suspense.
Wow. So have you don't have to tell us which books, but have you signed those NDAs for certain things?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, that's very tantalizing.
Well, one, I will just tease a little bit, which is going to be phenomenal. It's called She Said, and it's by the reporters who broke the Harvey Weinstein story for the New York Times.
Okay, wow. Oh, so we'll... So that gives us a taste as to the kinds of books that publishers tee up for the fall. It feels like it's just like what they do with movies, right? They're big name books.
Exactly.
So give us a couple of books on your list of things that we ought to be looking forward to.
Well, one that I think is just phenomenal, it's hands down, I think it's kind of a modern masterpiece, is called The Water Dancer by Ta-Nehisi Coates. And you're probably familiar with him from books like Between the World and Me,
yeah,
which I think won the National Book Award. But this is his first work of fiction. It's a novel, and it completely reimagines kind of the Underground Railroad in a way that has just never been done before, and sort of fuses his love of like Marvel superheroes and, you know, Spider-Man and Black Panther and so on with this man who is trying to escape slavery. His name is Hiram. So it's just, you know, an incredible book.
Wow. Now, we've had other recent novels that reimagine the Underground Railroad.
Like Colson Whitehead's
book. Colson Whitehead, that was the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me. I couldn't remember it. So is this, I mean, he sort of sets the Underground Railroad in modern times, right?
Yeah, that's a book that's almost like, it's futuristic. It's kind of like a dystopian novel. This is in, you know, it's in the day. And it really doesn't have a lot of feeling of modernity. And the person who's escaping slavery, Hiram, meets up with like Harriet Tubman and teams up with her. But there is a superpower that he has that enables him to reconnect with the past and with lost ancestors. And that's, you know, that's really the supernatural or superheroic element of it.
Wow.
But what it really emphasizes is how heroic those fleeing slavery were.
Mm. So that's The Water Dancer from Ta-Nehisi Coates. And it has a release date of what? September
23rd, I think it is. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So definitely one to look forward to there. Also on your list is Zadie Smith, who I just think is one of the most masterful writers at work today.
Did you realize? I don't think I realized that she's never written a collection of short stories before. And this is a collection of short stories called Grand Union. And I was just rereading them last night. I had to read them a couple of months ago for purposes of the magazine. And it's just incredible how versatile she is. You know, she can write stories that are set all over the world, and she just feels very at home in those worlds. And there's a sophistication, a worldliness that she has that enables her to kind of play with language and play with convention. They're masterful. They're really, really, really good.
You know, it's interesting, 'cause as you said, that I mean, she's done short stories before, but never put them in a collection. And
correct.
What I really appreciate about her writing, and I guess I'm thinking more of her nonfiction, is that she's this very obviously super brilliant and brave thinker who is unafraid in her writing to show us how she's interrogating her own presumptions, right?
Yes, correct.
And so that's just so wonderful to see in her nonfiction. And then in her fiction, as you said, her versatility is just remarkable.
Yeah, there's one story called Sentimental Education you particularly have to read.
Why?
If you haven't already. Well, it does what you just said, and it sort of interrogates the whole presumption of race. And, you know, it's set in a college campus, and there's one white kid who's just kind of hanging out and not attending class, but staying in the dorm room. And just the effortlessness with which she kind of reminds us of our racial presumptions is pretty remarkable.
Wow. So Grand Union by Zadie Smith, slated for an early October release. Now let's move on to Adrian Broder's Wild Game. This is on your list too. Why is that?
It is an intoxicating memoir. There's something about it that is kind of shocking and seductive. It is a memoir. It's a first book by Adrian. And it's about her kind of her secret affair. Well, her secrets that she held with her mother, who was having an affair while married to Adrian's stepfather. And Adrian, in effect, helps her to conduct the affair. She's a 14-year-old girl at the time, and she's, you know, she's sort of enthralled with the idea that she's her mother's confidant.
Huh. And you have an excerpt of the book that you could read for us?
I do. So it's from chapter 12. With Hazel vanquished and Lily none the wiser about her husband's affair, the chaotic storm that had been kicked up quickly dissipated, and Ben and my mother's relationship slipped back into a state of quasi-equilibrium. This was not the case with me. If previously I'd had a supporting role in my mother's extramarital activities, by masterminding this false letter-writing campaign, I put myself in the director's chair, presiding over the players. The experience had been heady, for sure, risky and thrilling, and it had resulted in raves from the small audience of my mother and Ben, who were floored by my plan and exhilarated by its perfect outcome. "You were brilliant," my mother told me over drinks at the Intercontinental.
Wow. Well, that's Lee Haber reading an excerpt of Adrian Broder's Wild Game, which will be published in October of 2019. And Lee is the books editor for O, the Oprah magazine, and coordinator for Oprah's Book Club. And we are talking about Lee's picks for great books to put on your fall reading list. And we want to know if you've got any suggestions. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-8255. Talk again, as always, we're on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio as well. Okay, Lee, I mean, you've got so many other great books on this list that I've got in front of me. Do you want to talk about Ann Patchett?
Yeah, I mean, I just have loved her for years, and so have so many other readers, you know, from her books like Commonwealth and so on. This new book is called The Dutch House, and it's set in the 20th century, but it kind of reads like a fairy tale. There's an evil stepmother character and a brother and sister who are sort of abandoned by their father when he marries this woman, and they've already been abandoned by their real mother. And so there's just this timeless quality to it. But because it's Ann Patchett, even in its darkest moments, it's also funny. And it's really a very complex and intriguing relationship that the two siblings, the brother and sister, have. I quite love it. I was actually really crying at the end, and I couldn't really figure out why until I realized that I just didn't want it to end.
The Dutch House, for slated for September 24th, or late September 2019. Lee, as I'm looking over this list, you've given us an all-fiction list, is that right?
Well, Wild Game's memoir.
Oh, okay, that's right. That's right, yep. Memoir. Yep. Okay. Anything in sort of the nonfiction area, or is memoir and fiction really sort of, does fall really showcase memoir and fiction?
Well, there is also a lot of good nonfiction coming out this fall, including something I just got wind of recently, and that is a book that Hillary and Chelsea Clinton are writing together, and it's a book about kind of badass women. And they collaborated on it. They've done various profiles from alternating points of view about people like Harriet Tubman, but also more obscure, you know, historical figures. And so that's coming out. Also, you know, like the book She Said that I just talked about, that that I mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
And there's also another embargoed book by the woman who was the Stamford rape case victim, who goes by Emily Doe. And that book is also under embargo. I've had a chance to look at it, and I think people are going to find it pretty amazing. And one last I'll mention, which is a grand, majestic biography of Susan Sontag.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So there's a lot.
There's a lot.
Let's go to a quick call here. Andrea is calling from Canton, Massachusetts. Andrea, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to share with you the most beautiful book I've read in a long time. I don't know if you can hear me because it's a poor connection, but the title of the book is On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah,
he's a poet, and he writes like a poet.
Andrea, thank you for your call. Yeah, your cell phone line was a little shaky there, but that she was talking about Ocean Vuong's book. That's been out for a while, though. We actually talked about that in our summer books conversation.
We did.
We? Yeah.
So, maybe that's where she heard about it.
Let's hope that it is. You know, Lee, actually, from that last conversation, there were some questions specifically for you and about what you do right now that I never got to ask you, so I'm so glad you're back with us here. Can you give us sort of the inside story about how you go about choosing books for Oprah's book club? I mean, because that is a weighty responsibility. Mm-hmm. You can move markets with those decisions.
Yeah, I try not to think about it in those terms. Because if I did, I would feel very intimidated and overwhelmed. And I think the reason I have the job and I'm in the job is just because, you know, I'm a reader and I'm, you know, I love reading. And so it's what I do pretty much constantly. But in terms of Oprah's book club, it's my job to help sort of think like Oprah. And I think we're pretty simpatico in terms of what we enjoy. She's an incredible, you know, an incredibly astute reader, and she knows her mind about books. So essentially, you know, what I do is when we receive books, which we do in crates from the mailroom every single day, my assistant, Michelle Hart, and I, you know, sort of eyeball them, and we try to read at as much as possible. And I just, you know, often have an instinct about what Oprah might like. And sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. A lot of other people sent her books as well. And as I say, she really knows her mind and her heart. But, you know, essentially she likes a great story. She likes a great first sentence. She wants a story that really has resonance for her and that she thinks will have resonance for her readers and will start conversations. And most of all, I think she wants to support great writing and writers. And I don't think there's anything that really excites her more than thinking that she could help gain readership for a worthy writer.
Mm. Do you dare give us an example of something that you thought that Oprah would love, but she didn't?
Well, she doesn't love short stories.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
You know, and I don't know if that's, you know, general across the board, but it's not, you know, it's not one of her favorite genres. She loves novels. She loves narrative nonfiction. She loves memoir. And she loves to read poetry, though we haven't picked poetry for book club. But for whatever reason, whether it's because she would rather do a deep dive or short stories are not her favorite form. And I absolutely love short stories.
Well, maybe the twain can meet with Zadie Smith's new collection.
You never know.
let me just sneak in one last call here in the short time we have. Billy is calling from Middletown, Connecticut. Billy, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I have been anxiously awaiting for 3 years for the fourth book in the illustrated Harry Potter series to come out. It's something they should have done a long time ago because the series prized for good illustration. And this illustrator is, he's English, he's very good, and it's he's taken his time, 3 years for this book to come out, but it comes out in October. Did I say that?
Well, you just
and
did.
I'm really looking forward to yes.
Well, Billy, so the fourth illustrated Harry Potter book, thank you so much for your call. 30 seconds left here, Lee. So of the books that you just mentioned to us, Grand Union by Zadie Smith, The Water Dancer by Ta-Nehisi Coates, All of Again. Oh, we didn't even talk about All of
we
Again.
We didn't talk about All of Again.
Oh, so talk about Elizabeth Strout's book. We got 30 seconds here.
Yeah, this is the follow-up to Olive Kittredge. And in this book, Olive is a much older woman with a new husband and just as cantankerous as ever, but it's wonderful, lovely, funny.
Okay, well, that is Lee Haber. She's the books editor for O, the Oprah magazine, and coordinator for Oprah's Book Club, walking us through her picks for great fall books. We're going to put this list at onpointradio.org. Lee, it's always so great to talk with you. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.